Welcome to another edition of GBB Live. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening, you are having a wonderful Friday afternoon getting started for the weekend. You know, the Grizzlies got a, you know, here in the States have a few back-to-back games to end their Summer League campaign, the 2023 NBA Summer League. But I say here in the States because I'm really thrilled, really excited for the guest that we have for today's show. Someone who has certainly been around Twitter and on social media for many great reasons. You know him as Funaki Stats, potentially Stephen Adams Stats, but one of the best number minds when it comes to the NBA that I've had the pleasure to get to know a little bit and a great part of Grizz Nation. Funaki Stats has been very kind enough to join me. How are you doing today, sir?
Sean Coleman. I'm good, man. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Hey, absolutely, man. Like I say, for those who have followed the Bluff City Media podcast. A few months ago, we were trying to get something done on the Grizz 901 podcast. It didn't work out on my end, unfortunately. So I'm glad we were able to make this happen. But Funaki, it's great to get to finally talk with you, man. How's everything over in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, it's a lazy Saturday morning here, 10 o'clock in the morning. So, yeah, no, everything's good. Middle of winter, all a bit dreary. But, yeah, no, doing good. Thanks, man.
Absolutely. And the thing about it is that's why it's so great to have summer basketball, because wherever you are, you can certainly enjoy it. Obviously, for many of those us, you know, in Grizz Nation, those around the NBA that have certainly come to love all the great information that Funaki provides. You know, one of the things that certainly stands out is that there is a love for Stephen Adams, both on my end as well as on Funaki's end. But what I want to ask you is this, is when it comes to just the start, what kind of, you know, got, you know, going on your end to create this, you know, stat central approach when it comes to Stephen Adams, and just what is really helped you grow your brand, because it's a phenomenal brand centered around one of the most beloved players in the NBA.
Yeah, it's actually an interesting one, in that when was it, February 2022, right, was when I started this thing. And it really happened because, I mean, I'm a basketball lover. You know, I've played basketball my life. I've played here in New Zealand, and New Zealand has only got one NBA player in Stephen Adams, right? So you've got this whole country interested in what he's up to, but there's hardly any coverage of it. And what there is sort of box score focused, and it just regurgitates what's out there. And so I would always try and plug in and catch up and find out about what's going on. I couldn't watch every game, so I was relying on media, on social media. And so I used to, you know, search Twitter, because that's where there's a bit of, you know, NBA analysis happening. And there would just be nothing. There'd be tumbleweed. People like you guys would do an occasional story, but that was kind of your Stephen Adams quota for the, you know, the month or for the whatever. And so you move on to something else, which is completely understandable. And so I just got a bit frustrated by that and the lack of quality content, the lack of people caring about Stephen Adams and doing it in a way that was actually legitimate and didn't just hype him up for the sake of him being a New Zealander, which is what some people would do. So I kind of just started out slowly, and I was like, okay, well, if this content isn't out there, we've got a whole country that's interested in it. And our media, there's no specialist basketball media in New Zealand, right? It's all rugby, it's all mainstream sports, and basketball's really low down the list. So you've got generic sports journalists not covering Stephen Adams well in New Zealand. So I just started out with you know, I know the game well enough to just start with the basics. And then I kind of learned this whole world of both social media. I never had a Twitter account prior to then. I never did social media. And I never really got into stats around basketball. I mean, I'm a business guy. I kind of know numbers, but I really had to learn both the stats world and the social media world. And kind of, the starting point where I started to feel like I had a bit of a platform was, you know, I was a couple of maybe 6 weeks into it. And I had, I don't know, 300 followers. So this was the diehard New Zealand Twitter fans. And then SportsCenter run this New Zealand only segment, which they stick on Twitter every now and then. And they interviewed Stephen Adams. And it was just after he had, maybe a week after, he'd made that ridiculous baseline full length of the court pass to Jar, and, you know, the assist of the year. But when they were interviewing him, they showed footage that hadn't been seen before, which was, you know, Stephen Adams, the camera was behind Stephen Adams and his hands were behind the back, and it was just super casual, and it just changed the whole way that everyone saw that play. So I clipped it up. No one else had seen it. Chuck it on the account. And it was liked 150,000 times, retweeted 15,000 times, and reached 12 million people, which I went from 300 followers to about, I think it was close to 2,000 followers pretty much overnight. And then suddenly everything I was posting around stats and around his impact in the game, people were following, you know, the whole OKC crew, and Stephen Adams is loved by all of them, were on board and they started following. And so, and the Grizz Twitter fan base started following. And so pretty much overnight, within 6 weeks, I had people that actually cared about it, that were following it. And, you know, the rest is kind of history.
That's a great story. I remember seeing all this. I had not attributed it all to that, you know, clip of, you know, the long heave down the court. It looked like Peyton Manning. You know, that's a guy that I like when it comes to American football. But I remember that now. And it's crazy. You know, we both love numbers. You know, my story is a lot less interesting than yours. And trust me, people would much rather listen to you tell your story. But it is kind of crazy, though, Funaki, that you joined in February of 2022. You know, I was lucky enough to have an interaction with Stephen Adams where we both admired each other's accents in March of 2022. So it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, how timing was. But the whole idea is this, is that this is why I wanted to talk with you. We both love numbers. We both are big fans of, you know, again, one of the best dudes in the NBA. And it's clear that he is having an impact when he's on the court for this Grizzlies squad. And of course, you know, here recently, you know, again, you know, in much deserved, Funaki Stats gets these, you know, waves of, you know, just really recognized tweets and social media posts and things like that. And one of the things that had recently occurred for Funaki was that Bleacher Report and other outlets picked up on his wonderful, wonderful display of just how important Stephen Adams has been when he's been on the court for the Grizzlies, especially last year. So Funaki, you know, pivoting to the impact of Stephen Adams last year, before things kind of went downhill, you know, with the Ja Morant situation, you know, different things, Stephen Adams was basically one of the more consistent and trustworthy parts of this Grizzlies team. What really stood out to you as to why he continued? Now, we know that he had a bounce-back season in 2021-2022, but what really stood out to you last year when he was on the court that helped him sustain the significant value he offers the Grizzlies?
Look, I think, I call it the Stephen Adams era. It's, you know, that's a little bit self-centered, but it's the coming of age of Jar, of Dez, of Jaren. You know, that start of that 21-22 season. If you think of what defines the Grizzlies, because every contending team needs to have something that they are better than everyone else at. And you look at what that is, and it's rebounding consistently, not just top of the league, but ahead of anyone else in recent years, even decades in the league. Paint points, and again, similar situation, not just best in the league, but in recent years, better than anyone else. And defense, right? So the D has been, if it hasn't been, you know, number one in the league, it's been top three or top five. So the defense has been great. And Jaren is obviously a huge part of that. Yeah, but those three things are, you know, Stephen Adams contributes hugely to all three of them. And yes, he might be the fourth guy in terms of, you know, box scores and everything else and people how people would describe the impact he has. But in terms of the brand, the style of play, and the statistical significance of the current era of Grizzlies, Stephen Adams has a massive impact on that. And, you know, that's really at the heart of these numbers that, you know, people have taken an interest in around actually while Stephen Adams was playing for those first, whatever it was, 42 games. They reflected all of that impact that he has in those three areas. And as soon as he was injured, actually there isn't anybody else on the team that can step in to fill those voids that facilitates all of those unique characteristics of this current Grizz squad, which is why they dropped off a cliff. That's the heart of it.
Absolutely. And you know, I've said before, Funaki, that, you know, it's, you know, you could call him maybe a stud in support or a star in support. The perfect thing about Stephen Adams is that he doesn't have to have the ball to add massive value. His offensive reboundings, his screening, you know, the rim protection, which really, you know, came back into focus in a good way last year when he was healthy. All those things are certainly box score worthy that help out. But the biggest value that Stephen Adams has happened is because he can add value without needing the ball a lot. it's given Ja space to be able to create and go to the rim, and you've seen his game elevate. The passing back and forth between Desmond Bane and Adams and giving, you know, Bane the area to work, that obviously has allowed for his game to blossom. Taking care of the rebounding and also the paint banging basically down low has freed up Jaren to, you know, evolve his offensive game. But also, I really think that Steven Adams has been a huge reason why Jaren has blossomed into arguably a top three defender in the NBA. The value that Steven Adams provides above all is how he has indirectly helped the games of the Grizzlies' best talents blossom. And that was the perfect compliment you could find, and also a compliment to the front office for having the faith to make the move, to get Steven Adams. And he's done nothing but absolutely deliver in his time in Memphis.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And that was obviously a contentious decision by the front office to trade away Jonas Valanciunas and bring in Steven Adams, because at a box score level, it looked like it was a massive downgrade. And, you know, Jonas brought a lot to the Grizzlies and is a great player. But what Steven Adams does, and to your point, at a lower usage, but at a higher facilitating role, is hugely important to that accelerated growth we've seen from Bane, from Jar, from Dez. You know, you're taking a guy that's now, what, about 13, 14% usage, and he's turned that into extra shots for your core. And that's something that was hugely underrated in that move. And in hindsight, everyone can now see and go, yep, actually, that's super important to the growth of this team. You know, but I think it's also unlocked actually a whole new way of the offense working, right? So that whole delay set where Steven Adams is running at that high hub and he's the facilitator, you weren't able to do that with Jonas Valanciunas, right? He didn't have the vision. He didn't have the passing skills. And that having Adams there in that role is actually the way that this whole offense works now, and in addition to the ball screens. So the Ja Morant pick and roll, the delay set at the top with Adams running that facilitating role, that really defines the Grizzlies offense these days.
And the thing is that, you know, this isn't the first time that Funaki, that Adams has really had success in this type of role, right? He has supported immense duos of talents before. The latter half of the KD Russ era in Oklahoma City, the Paul George Russ era for the year that it was in Oklahoma City. Yeah, I know that he, you know, had a bit of a down year in New Orleans, but now obviously, you know, going on two years now here in Memphis. When you, I know that your social media presence has basically been for the past 18 months, but as you've followed him throughout his career, Funaki, what stands out that's, you know, maybe better or different about his role with the Grizzlies compared to the role that he played during those Oklahoma City years, supporting Russ and Durant, and then Russ and Paul George?
Yeah, well, I think it's a combo of things. It's both the development and the expansion of Steven Adams' game, but it's also the development of the NBA game as a whole. And to keep talking about that, you know, that passing role, that facilitating role, he didn't do any of that in any, you know, with Pelicans or with the Thunder, right? He didn't need to. It was very much about on-ball action, and screens has always been a fantastic screener, the best in the business. So that's always been a huge part of his game. But actually, the vision that that Kleiman, that Jenkins had for him was to actually unlock those facilitating passing skills. And, you know, I think I put a stat up yesterday which said that 20% of all of Steven Adams' games for the Grizzlies, he's recorded 5 or more assists. With the Thunder, it was 1% of all of his games he'd recorded 5-plus assists, right? So he just wasn't given that responsibility. And so, you know, as the game has evolved, you know, you got your Sabonises, your Jokers, your Jokic running that big man passing facilitating role. And so he's really grown into that. It was almost immediate when they put him in that position. But, you know, the game as well has evolved in other ways. Offensive rebounding has become actually less of a focus of teams. Obviously, they're trying to make sure that they've got the defensive coverage back, so they don't tend to put as many guys forward. And actually, the rise of the skinny, slim shooting center has meant that Adams can dominate other bigs in the game more than he would otherwise. So he's actually a better offensive rebounder now than he was with the Thunder days anywhere else. Actually, his two most impactful offensive rebounding seasons have been with the Grizzlies, and it's because the league is changing. And some people think that Steven Adams is a dinosaur now, right? He doesn't shoot. He's doesn't move that well laterally, but actually, it means he can be more dominant in the rebounding part of his game, and that it has never been more evident than it has been over the last two seasons. He had more rebounds, total rebounds, not just offensive rebounds, more rebounds per minute than anyone else in the league.
It's almost as if, he's become the best version of himself in Memphis. Sure, you want him to be able to score and, pass and things like that. But Steven Adams just seems to be someone who really just loves and embraces, the niche part of things that he's good at. You typically don't see, you ask people around the NBA who's the most physically imposing person in the game right now, I think Steven Adams would be at or on the top of that list. You wouldn't expect a guy like that to be a good facilitator, yet he is. And of course, he's grown into, setting thunderous screens, being able to get the rebounds, handling that physical presence. He loves that part of the game. But of course, we all know what he can do when he's healthy. We unfortunately have come into, a time frame in which, he went down with the knee injury on January 22nd, 23rd. I can't remember the exact injury. Of course, there was back and forth. Would he play? Would he not for much of the season? He unfortunately did not. And then let's be honest, there's been a bit of mystery, around that potential injury when it's come to Steven Adams. I don't want to speculate too much. My guess is the team, definitely has a plan in place of getting him back to where he'll play again. They just want to make sure that once he does come back, he's not going to, be at risk for something else happening. But, discussing that a little bit, Funaki, that to me now becomes the focus, because especially with Ja Morant now out for 25 games with a suspension, even with the addition of Marcus Smart, having a healthy Steven Adams is just an incredible boost for this team. You have to hope that he's going to be ready to go. Even if he's a bit limited getting back into game shape, you have to hope the health is there to start the season.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot going, right? There's not a lot of information out there. You just got to trust the front office. I think they've been really clear. They had the option of surgery if he needed it, and they chose not to. And they don't take those decisions lightly, right? They could have cleaned him up. They could have operated, and he would have still had time to come back probably for the start of the season, right? Because it would have been reasonably minor. So they had that option. They chose not to take it. And, I haven't seen much since the season ended. I know he worked out a few times in New Zealand. There was a few posts from people saying, they saw him at gyms and stuff. So, he's got his program. He's working on it. The two times that Clemen has spoken about it, he said he's either ahead of schedule or he's got greater confidence of him being ready day one. So I think you just got to trust that. And I think you've got to believe that actually he will be there day one unless he has a setback. But what's interesting as well is that I go back to those first probably 6 weeks after the injury when he was due to come back. He was playing full 5-on-5. Full court in trainings, ready to go. So he wasn't limited by this injury. The reason they held him back, the reason they didn't play him and it got dragged out and out and out, is apparently because he had some swelling after he was running. So this isn't an injury that was causing a massive discomfort. It was something that they just wanted to get right and they didn't want to force it. So all of those things, added in together, I've got pretty good confidence that he's good to go game one. And in terms of the importance of that, you lose Ja for 25 games, and I think everyone's confident that we can hold court as we need to, that we can tread water, and we can come out with a reasonable record after 25 games. I was looking at the numbers, there's been 27 games since Steven Adams joined the Grizzlies where Ja, let me get this right. Let's start with this. 19 games without Steven Adams and Ja Morant. And that record has been 11 wins, 8 losses. So a win percentage of 58%, which is below average for the Grizzlies for that period. But the plus minus on that total is only plus 2. So they've been really tight games. Margin of error hasn't been much. So they've scraped those wins. You look at the 27 games without Ja, but with Adams, it's completely different. A win percentage of 74%, 20 wins, 7 losses. And the plus minus on that is it through the roof, 339, so plus 12.5 per game. They've been blowing teams out. So actually the numbers show that the Grizzlies without Ja, but with Steven Adams, are still hugely effective. And some could say, contentious, I know, that they're a better team in that scenario, more efficient, better win percentage than actually when Ja Morant is in the mix. Now, it's a tiny sample, and I'm not saying that the Grizzlies are better without Ja. That's absolutely not the case. But the Grizzlies with Steven Adams are pretty tough to handle.
So then let's go through, you know, over the past 6 months going into this next season, because now it's a bit interesting. If Steven Adams comes back healthy, and even before Ja returns, but once he does return, it gets fun, right, Finaki? Because the Grizzlies had their way of winning with Steven Adams. His facilitation, his rebounding, getting extra possessions, the extra defense that he provided, so on and so forth. They won a lot through defense, you know, getting more possessions of the other team. Steven Adams was a huge part of that while he was playing. They go through about a 2 to 3 week period with him down, trying to figure things out. Definitely was not good basketball. But then they go out and trade for Luke Kennard, arguably the best shooter in the NBA. At that point, the Grizzlies' formula for winning changes a little bit. You know, they become more reliant on threes. You know, when Steven Adams was on the court last season up until his injury, the Grizzlies, I believe, were 22nd in half-court offense per cleaning the glass. Without Steven Adams, but with Luke Kennard, and, you know, every now and then without Ja Morant, the Grizzlies went up to 15th, and then they completely, you know, got stopped in the playoffs. But the point that I'm getting at is that the addition of Luke Kennard opened up the three-point shot for this Grizzlies team. And that's something that I think that they truly want to embrace. Now, that may initially make you think, okay, well, if they want to embrace that, a non-shooter like Steven Adams, where does that leave him? But the thing is that the best version of this Grizzlies team is with Adams and Kennard both really supporting that, you know, main core. And obviously Marcus Smart. We know how Marcus Smart will do it. He's a better version of Dylan Brooks. But the added three-point shooting of Kennard, as well as what Adams can do in the post, that provides this Grizzlies team with two highly effective ways to be able to win ball games. And as we know, any sustainable winner in a team that wants to survive in the playoffs, you got to be able to win in multiple ways. And I think that both a healthy Adams and a Kennard in a featured role really would help with that. What are your thoughts about how, once everybody's healthy, the Grizzlies could potentially be better now that they have some really good sources of support for the main core in Adams and Kennard?
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited about these first 25 games. I know we can talk long term in a minute, but I think these first 25 games, everything points towards that lineup being, including the starting lineup, including Luke Kennard, right? So Kleiman has said on two different occasions that Luke is going to play more, but that he is also going to be, he's going to be there so that Bane and Marcus Smart can be the primary ball handlers, right? So that five-man lineup for me is super exciting. And it's because, actually, if you look back at the second half of the season, once Kennard was acquired, Bane and Kennard only played 10 minutes per game together. But in those 10 minutes they were together per game, the Grizzlies were ridiculously good. So of all two-man lineups that played more than 200 minutes together, they were the fourth best net rating of 21.6. The Grizzlies as a whole, as a team, not just those two, but the all lineups that they played with over those 10 minutes, shot 44% from three, which is ridiculous. Again, it was in the top few lineups of the league. So I think what Kleiman's saying here is, actually, that was 10 minutes a game. We've got an opportunity for these first 25 games to insert them into the lineup and to maybe go to 16 minutes per game where they're actually matching minutes. And that causes hell for the defense, right? Because we're a team that loves to score in the paint, and suddenly you've got two defenders that have to stick to their guys. You've got Steven Adams, who's next to Jokic, is the second highest facilitator of paint points when on the court. So you've got this wicked combination of brilliant shooting, paint scoring, and, you know, I'm excited to see what that looks like. And so for me, it's about the three things coming together of Bane and Kennard being on the court and Adams there. You know, I think the other thing that's really relevant here is that, do you know what team in the league has the, of all 2-point shots, has the closest distance of shots taken? It's the Grizzlies, right? So we are the definition of a paint point and three-point shooting team. We've got zero mid-range. And between that season when Jonas left and when Stephen Adams arrived, Desmond Bane went from being ranked 63rd in the league on handoff scoring to being ranked second in the league. He scored 158 points that season, and 76 points of those came from handoff assists from Stephen Adams. And so if we're going to be a competitive team, we have to score in lots of different ways. We have to become more efficient and more diverse in our offense. We can't just be the team that scores at the rim, because teams work that out. Become playoff time, it doesn't translate. So Luke Kennard is another dude whose game can be unlocked in the mid-range through that handoff game with Adams as well, in the same way it was for Bane, you know, last season. So I think there's lots of reasons to be excited about what that five-man lineup looks like.
Absolutely. And great. Oh, spoke to my heart there, Funaki. It was awesome. Awesome to get that perspective. But absolutely. Earlier today in preparation for getting to talk with you, I started to think, okay, what does this Kennard Stephen Adams, combo look like to support our main core? And I'll be honest with you, now that you mention it, to me, perhaps the most intriguing three-man lineup to look at the numbers of in the first 25 games is going to be when Adams, Kennard, and Bane are on the court. It's going to be really interesting to see. But Funaki, I went back and I looked. So I'm not going to be contentious here, but I would say probably the player in the NBA over the past decade who could be similar in effectiveness, or at least in style of play, to Stephen Adams would be, Andre Drummond. I don't think that he's been as consistent as Adams. Adams is a better player, in other words. So just want to make sure that with you on the podcast, I set that understanding.
But, I mean, he's a good offensive rebounder. I'll give him that.
Yes.
Carry on. Yeah.
The crazy thing is, though, is that Luke Kennard, in his first three seasons in Detroit, played with Andre Drummond. They played on the court together for nearly 4,400 possessions. And the thing that stood out to me, you wouldn't expect it, but they were consistently a significant advantageous lineup for the Pistons. And the reason why, Funaki, is because of the screen setting by Drummond plus the rebounding, and then the spacing that Luke Kennard, along with others like Blake Griffin, Wayne Ellington, and others, the screening and spacing that took place with those lineups, it opened up the corner three. And these lineups were so consistent at shooting the three. And so I know that was 3 years ago. I know it was with Andre Drummond. So, take that with a grain of salt. But take that same concept and apply it to what Kennard could do with Adams, plus thinking about what Desmond Bane could do as a facilitator or a spot-up shooter. Kennard the same way. Jaren or Bane or Smart or Kennard in the corner with threes. What Ja can do off of the screens as well as a playmaker. Look at what the Kennard-Drummond duo did for Detroit, and then look at the talent that you could, offer that same concept with Memphis. It really, really, really is exciting. So I think that the Grizzlies' three-point production, their overall facilitation, and a word that we have talked about for so long, the spacing, I think that really is at a peak level when you've got Kennard and Adams and others on the floor.
I saw you tweet that out, when it was a couple of hours ago, right? And I was like, oh, yeah, so Sean's going back in time and looking at these numbers. So I was like, okay, I need to look into this myself. And you're absolutely right. That's a great parallel. And the additional stat that I'd add to that around that Kennard Drummond time was actually the offensive rating, or the points per possession of the team when it was just Kennard without Drummond was 108 offensive ratings, so 1.08 points per possession. When it was the two of them together for those three seasons, it was 115, which for the time, 115 offensive rating was crazy good. 1.15 points per possession. So it was additive, is what you're saying, right? It was unlocking team efficiency in scoring. Luke Kennard only averaged 6 field goal attempts per game last season for the Grizzlies. So he's not, his value isn't even just, the points he scores and the shots he's taken. His value is the way that he creates that spacing you're just talking about. And, the other interesting thing about the lineups that we were talking about before. When Bane and Kennard are on the floor together, there is only the tiniest difference in point production between Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. Jaren becomes a beast offensively when those two are on the floor. There was like 1 point per 100 possessions between Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr., both around that 37, 38 per 100. So they, you know, it unlocks that space that Jaren needs. It unlocks space for everybody. And yes, the screen setting is going to be a huge part of that. You know, I've tweeted quite a bit about how the modern day concept of what creates spacing is flawed, right? Because it goes straight to, can your big men shoot? Actually, the whole purpose of spacing is to create driving lanes to get points at the rim. And Steven Adams does that more and better than any center in the league other than Jokic, and the stats prove that. So this idea that there is space creation from screening, vertical space creation on pick and rolls, all of those things are different versions of space creation, and the Grizzlies have got a pretty unique way of achieving it.
Yeah, Steven Adams is the poster boy when it comes to, oh, you can't play a non-shooting big that long or in high leverage lineups. Where you sure as hell can when that non-shooting big elevates the shooting of everybody else and scoring potential of everybody else like Steven Adams does. But I know that we both enjoy talking about Steven Adams, and we talk about, you know, the main, you know, folks when it comes to the Grizzlies, Funaki, but want to get your thoughts on a few other things that have obviously occurred this summer. You know, first off, obviously the addition of Marcus Smart. I think it, you know, at first I was a bit skeptical because, you know, he wasn't the big wing that I thought that we needed. You know, did we make a bit of an overpay? Sure, all that may be true. But without a doubt, for reasons on the court and off the court, the addition of him is absolutely fabulous. And the good thing for me is that I truly do think that the Grizzlies, you know, their calling card being defense, potentially, you know, continuing to be a top three defense in the league, I really think that can do them wonders. But just your thoughts first on the additions of the veterans that have come in. Marcus Smart, Derrick Rose. Obviously, we know the narratives around Derrick Rose. Your thoughts on those veteran additions that the Grizzlies have done this summer?
Yeah, it's huge, right? And I, for lots of reasons, both in terms of team dynamic, and there's, you know, that's been talked about a lot. And I think, to be honest, I think there is a little bit in that, that Steven Adams is a Kiwi. There's no doubt he's a leader, that him and Ja respect each other. But it's different when you've got guys like Derrick Rose and Marcus Smart, who actually Ja absolutely will be able to relate to their backgrounds. He'll provide a different kind of leadership, a complementary kind of leadership that Steven Adams brings as a veteran. So I'm all for that, and I completely agree. You need that mix off the court. And I think we'll see a maturity in the team because of it. And on the court, you know, it's super exciting, right? You're replacing a guy like Dylan Brooks, who, you know, was high usage for his talent. It's probably a nice way of putting it. And on the offensive end, but was a phenomenal defender. And you solve both of those problems by bringing in Marcus Smart, right? He's marking the same dudes Dylan is night in, night out, but he's doing it in a way on the offensive end that is going to enhance the core in the same way that Steven Adams did. So that for me is super exciting. And Derrick Rose, I don't know how much he's going to play. I don't know what you think about that. You know, our squad is kind of, we've got 10 guys. Once BC and Jaren, BC and Jar are back, you've got 10 guys there that are playing minutes, and I don't know where Derrick Rose fits into that, right? He's going to play minutes clearly as a backup point guard and some, but is that 10 minutes a game or is it 15 minutes a game? I don't know. I guess we'll get a sense of that over the coming weeks. But, you know, in terms of an addition, in terms of a guy that's been there and done that, a guy that can be part of mentoring Jar and the other young core, it's incredible.
Yeah, and I mean, I think you can actually make a parallel, Funaki, when it comes to, you know, the transition from Dylan to Marcus Smart, like you could when you did the transition from Jonas to Steven Adams. You know, when you did Jonas to Steven Adams, you took away, you know, a scoring source that, you know, was pretty high usage as a center, and you took that away by getting a guy who could add value in a low usage role, but that could amplify, you know, the talents that you wanted to evolve. That's what Steven Adams did. In a bit of a different way, you still have a pretty high usage guy in Marcus Smart, like Dylan Brooks was, but Marcus, through Marcus Smart's usage, yeah, you don't have the best shooting, but his high usage will be a significantly better opportunity for him to, through his playmaking, to help other guys score than Dylan Brooks did. So it's kind of the evolution going from Dylan to Smart, like it was Jonas to Steven Adams, in a loose way to, you know, correlate the two. But that's where I think I'm stick at with Marcus Smart. I agree with you. I think Derrick Rose, if he's healthy, I think that Derrick Rose, he's just always going to have natural scoring ability. He had a pretty good start to the season last year in a 10 to 15 minute role for the New York Knicks. If he plays that for us, you know, after, you know, through the first 25 games, gives us a, you know, 7 to 10 points a night, you know, a few threes, a few assists, I think he'll do his job just fine. And we also know that he's perfectly fine taking a step back if need be. But the other part of this equation for the Grizzlies to really take that next step forward, they've got to start getting some production from their young talents. Jake LaRavia, David Roddy, you know, Santi Aldama, we know can provide that. Zaire Williams is really, you know, the biggest overall question right now. But I'll ask your opinion on that. From the summer league, from what we've saw, Funaki versus Zaire Williams, you can throw Santi Aldama into this. How important is it that that young depth really produces one or two guys? And who do you think could take a Santi-like leap, if you will, out of LaRavia and Roddy and Lofton and Zaire and these other names that are, you know, provide the Grizzlies young depth?
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating, right? Because just to my previous point there, if you look at if we're full strength as a squad, so Ja, Dez, Marcus Smart, Jaren Stevo, and then you've got a veteran bench or a non, you know, recent rookie bench of Derrick Rose, Luke Kennard, BC Tillman, Santi. So there's 10 dudes that are going to get minutes that are going to play. And so if we're a fully healthy squad, we're talking here about numbers, and I haven't even mentioned John Conchar. I know that's going to cause all sorts of, you know, Twitter fire to come out. But, you know, you've then got John Conchar, 11th man, and then you're getting into your Roddy Z Will and all of that. And so if this squad is fully healthy, it's very much a conversation on the fringe, right? But if you lose one or two guys, which will happen, right? They become incredibly important. And these first 25 games are going to be great, right? Because you've got additional minutes there. You've got whatever, 30 minutes a game that you can chuck these guys in and see how it goes. So you can't evaluate that pecking order for the recent rookies based on summer league, right? It's going to be a combination of that plus preseason plus the first 25 games. And I don't think, you know, you see people on Twitter taking sides of, you know, different agendas of where that pecking order looks. I think you can only make that call after getting close to those 25 games and you're in the business end of the season and you can say, right, actually, what are the different things that these guys bring? And there's, I mean, don't forget, Zaire Williams started 31 games in his rookie year and we had a win percentage of 67%. He was a huge part of that historic season in terms of, you know, number of wins, that 56-win season. And you know, I often just poke the bear a little bit and I put out their stats that show that he is an absolute efficiency beast when he's on the court with Steven Adams. And so a lot of this is about actually what guys do you need to surround these other players to make them successful? And there's no question that Zaire is at his best when he's running that that delay set, that backdoor cuts, getting to the rim, having guys setting him up rather than out of that, you know, Jar ball screen on ball, just straight pot up, spot up role. So I think it is a horses for courses. I think the pecking order will emerge over time. One thing I'm excited about though, so Lofton Jr., right? What I love about him and what's unique about him is that he can play, you know, fringe 4 or 5, your backup 5 maybe. And what he brings that no one else in the squad does is he brings that passing ability, running that high facilitation role that Steven Adams does. So you could play a lineup with him at the, you know, the 4/5 with Jaren 4/5, and you've still got that playmaking. You've still got the big that can have the high touches. And I want to see that, right? I want to see that in preseason in the first 25 games to see if it translates from summer league dominance into legitimate NBA lineups and performance. And I think there's massive potential for that to actually be the case and for him to end up getting minutes because he's so important at the offensive end. Where that falls down a little bit is that, you know, when Steven Adams is in that lineup, he's also marking your bigs, right? He's marking 86th percentile in offensive opponents. And I just don't think that that Junior has that same defensive capacity to take on your Embiids and your Jokic and your Giannis and all that.
That was awesome to listen to. And I agree with you completely. You know, at the very least, we've got a lot of intriguing depth. You know, if you know, our main six, I guess you could say, of Ja and Dez and Smart and Jaren and Steve-O and Kennard can, you know, all, you know, coexist together. And we can get one or two out of that young combo four group to really support that group. Plus, Santi, I think that you have a team that, if everything goes right, you have a team that once again can contend in the playoffs. And this time around, if they can get the threes falling, get some consistent defense, and just get good passing going on, which I think this team is much more prepared to do now than previous versions of this team in recent years, I think you could see a team that can make some noise in the playoffs. Funaki, I don't mean to sound cliche. I want to be as sincere as possible. This has been incredible. It's been a pleasure to get to talk with you finally. Absolutely back up and then some, all the great insight that you offer on Twitter. Please provide us with any more thoughts that you have and, you know, where everyone can find your great work, you know, as we go through the next few months, basketballist, but still, you know, in anticipation of next year.
Yeah, I just want to thank you, Grizz Twitter. You know, it's been a weird experience, eh? Just coming into this random guy from New Zealand, just plugging into a pretty cool fan base. And I just love the discourse that happens, all the banter that happens, these sorts of conversations. But also, actually, everyone's super positive, super behind their team. And I look at some other fan bases and it just gets real ugly real quick. Just wanted to thank you, to thank the Grizz Twitter crew for just being what it is, and also for those that actually have really gotten behind the Stephen Adams account and actually just helped push that message out there. Because I think we're actually at the point now where I don't think Stephen Adams is underrated by the fan base, right? I think everybody appreciates him for what he is, and that's, you know, not necessarily much to do with my account, but I think actually the fan base is really well educated. The fan base gets it. And so, yeah, I just wanted to thank you, thank others for that. Not a lot else. I feel like I haven't heard enough of your takes. What do you think about those, that pecking order we just talked about?
Yeah, no, when it comes to pecking order, you know, in terms of the core and the vets, you know, I think the best lineup this year is going to be, two different versions. You need to have Ja, Dez, Smart, and Jaren on the court. Because at that point, you've got arguably the best defensive combo in the league on the court. You've got Ja and Bain, who have shown before they can be an offensive combo that can match up with any other offensive combo in the league. And if you need that three-point shooting, you need that perimeter production, put Kennard in there. If you need not Ja, Bain, Kennard, Smart, and Jaren, don't get me wrong, but feature Kennard. If you need to match up with bigs, feature Adams, you know, when you can. And then that pecking order, I think LaRavia makes the most sense. He's gotten some really good reviews and, you know, some positive boosts from Kleiman as well as Bain. He's had a good summer league. I think that his skill set probably makes the most sense for the low usage, three-point production on offense, decent defender on defense role. We need to be filled by at least one of these young wings. I think Zaire has the biggest overall ceiling of those young wings. Roddy could easily be considered the most trustworthy. I think he'll have a, you know, spot in the rotation for most of the year. The rest of them, I think, are just lottery tickets when it comes to it. And you obviously hope you can get BC back. But to me, the biggest success for the Grizzlies is just going to get back to health, get Ja back, maintain health. And then again, you know, if they can get one of LaRavia or Zaire to really be a big contributor this year, and they can maybe get BC in some version of himself later on in the year, I think that's going to be a best case scenario for this team to figure out a way to get 50 wins and then be in a good spot in the playoffs.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, no, I just think there's, you know, like we're saying, that picking order and how that plays out is going to become more evident as we move past summer league and we get into preseason and those first 25 games. It's actually a pretty good scenario for working that out, and hopefully BC comes back, you know, latter half of the year. Actually, all signs are looking pretty good for another great season.
The thing that we need to happen, though, to be honest with you, Finaki, we just need for Steven Adams to come back with a three-point shot and be making one or two. That's what we really need. You can find Funaki Stats at Funaki Stats, Steven Adams Stats on Twitter. Funaki, do you have, forgive me because I'm not on any other social media sites, do you have Instagram or Threads or anything like that on your end that you use, TikTok?
No, like I said at the start, I was a zero social media guy, gotcha. And I've just put all my love into Twitter. So I did the whole, you know, go check out Threads, and then came right back because that's, you know, I'm not interested in rebuilding anything. So I'll be here.
Gotcha. Funaki Stats, just an incredible source of content. I will say thank you for all the great content that you put out. And for those, you know, this is my first time, you know, at Link talking with Funaki, just an absolutely incredible dude as well. So Funaki, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. Stick with us for just a second after the podcast. But again, you can find all of Funaki Stats' great stuff on Twitter, myself at StatsSAC, this podcast and many more with Grizzly Bear Blues and Bluff City Media at bluffcitymedia.co. Become an insider today for all the great content that we provide in written, digital, and audio form. And just thank you so much for tuning in once again to GBB Live. For Funaki Stats, my name is Sean Coleman. Until next time, go Grizz. We'll talk to you again soon here on GBB Live.